We're doing the laws of Shabbat, and we're discussing Muktzeh. We spoke last week about Tefillin. We have a Kli Shem Nachto Leheter. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, this is based on a Gemara, that even a vessel that's a very large vessel is nonetheless a vessel. Just because something's very big and it takes a few people to move it, it's still considered a vessel. The Gemara brings different stories of Amoraim who had a few servants get together to carry a vessel from place to place. So even though it was a very large vessel, it's still a kli. So if we have a kli shem nachto leheter, that means a vessel whose usage is for things that are permitted to do on Shabbos. So that's a vessel that you're allowed to move around for whatever usage you have. We have a discussion of how do we view a fan. So turning on a fan, an electric fan on Shabbat, that's an action that's prohibited. But your usage of the fan is not turning it on. Your usage all day is the fan is working and running. So that's a machloket. Do we view that as a kli shem nachto leheter? The fan that's running, that there's nothing muktzeh about that. There's nothing prohibited about a working fan on Shabbat. The same thing with a light bulb. So I'm not allowed to turn on a light bulb on Shabbat, but moving it around and using it, is that a kli shem nachto leheter? Is that a kli shem nachto leisur? So that's one question. And where necessary, we're lenient with that. If you have a lamp that you need to take to a different room to learn, if you have a radiator that you need to move from room to room, the only issue you have to pay attention to with a radiator is that sometimes moving the radiator causes the thermostat to turn on. So the recommended way to do it is to wait until the radiator is on. Most radiators have a light that turns on when they're functioning, when the thermostat causes it to heat up, and then you can move it from room to room as necessary. What about a telephone book? Right, so once upon a time, there was this book. It had pages, yeah. And it had a list of people's names and telephone numbers and addresses. Okay? Until not so long ago, every person got one by their front door for free. Companies would give you this up until about 5 years ago, yes? So, yeah. We moved to Koch Viako 5 years ago. 6 years ago, we still got one. Okay? So, I know this sounds like centuries ago, but not so long ago there was this book. It had telephone numbers and addresses. It's called the telephone book. What?
The children
so our question comes up when you're looking for someone's address. Do I say the telephone book is primarily used again? This is the day before people had a computer at their hands every second with an iPhone. So back then you needed a telephone number if you didn't want to pay for calling the operator, you looked it up in a telephone book. Okay, so what's the prime usage for a telephone book? All week long, people use it to look up telephone numbers. And sometimes you use it to look up addresses. Well, it would happen like once a month that someone would knock at your door and they'd say, I'm looking for so-and-so. And you'd say, let me look up their address. I don't know where they live. I lived in a building in Manhattan which had over 100 people in that one building. For sure, I didn't know all my neighbors. Right? It was 17 floors, and on each floor you had about 15 people living. Like it was a broad building. So I didn't know all my neighbors. I mean, there was no way to know all your neighbors. The building was like a whole community. So if someone asks me, where does so-and-so live? I have to look it up. So can you look it up on Shabbat in the telephone book? So for sure you can look it up, because even if a telephone book is a kli shem nachto leisur, this is tzorech gufo. I need the book. I need to look up the address. So that's for sure permissible. The question is, what if you're one of those people who likes to memorize a telephone book? What if you want to use it as a booster seat? What if you want to look up where your friend lives and it's not necessary for now? How careful am I allowed to move a telephone book when it's not tzorech gufo and tzorech mikomo? Is the telephone book a kli shem nachto leheter or isur? So that's a machloket. Again, you have two opinions about whether how we view a telephone book. Because when I look up the number, that's not prohibited. It's after I look up the number that I use a telephone to do something prohibited. So can I say that's a kli shem nachto leisur? I'm not doing anything prohibited with that. To look up a telephone number isn't prohibited. It facilitates the usage of another tool, the telephone book, which is prohibited. So does that make my telephone book a kli shenachta leisur, or does it make it uvdan dechol? That looking up a number in a telephone book is a weekday activity. So you're not supposed to do things that are blatantly weekday on Shabbat. So that's, even though we would proudly say a telephone book is a kli shenachta leheter, using a telephone book is permissible on Shabbat, but to sit there reading or looking up a number in a telephone book on Shabbat, that's an act that is uvdan dechol. It's a weekday type of act. It takes away from the sanctity of our Shabbat. Yes?
Two questions. First question, in the case of Pushtis Tikva, isn't Tzorach Gufo?
It is Tzorach Gufo, no problem.
The second case, what happens if someone calls, like, and puts on a Knox number and says, where's the address? You look it up and you automatically memorize the telephone number because that's how your brain works.
That's also okay.
I mean, it's not your intention to do it.
Right. Yeah.
It's only if you're specifically going to memorize it for this purpose of memorizing it.
It comes up like that, right? When we were kids, so you were going to your friend's house and you wanted to remember the telephone number of another friend who you were going to call Motzei Shabbos to join you, right? So let's say I'm going to Chaim's house and Motzei Shabbat, I want Yanki to come play with us. So before I leave the house, I'll look up the telephone number. Wait, what am I doing? Aside from the preparation factor, there's a question, can I open up a telephone book? Or is it mukta? Am I allowed to do that? Aside from the preparation aspect. Yes?
Two questions. Well, one question, with regards to the fan and with regards to the light that's already in operation, meaning you're not causing a change in the action, you're not turning either of them on. For a fan, part A, moving it in order to facilitate so it would be closer to you, and part B, putting the pin in or out to make the fan move back and forth or stay put. With regards to the lamp, what about a flashlight that's just on?
Okay, so three years ago, we had a blackout in Kochav Yaakov. Our Bezek line worked. Electricity was going on and off in the snow. I get a phone call. Someone asked me, Rabbi, if I leave a flashlight on, is it permissible for me to move it on Shabbat? I said, is it an LED light or is it an incandescent bulb? If it's an incandescent bulb, it's a machloket. But you definitely have who to rely on to do it. If it's an LED light, then I think everyone would agree you're allowed to move it on Shabbat. You have no problem. He says to me, it's an LED light. An incandescent light has a filament that turns red hot. And there you run into the question, is it like moving fire? So again, you have who to rely on that says it's permissible. But if you're dealing with an LED light, so then you're glad. Then it's no problem. If it's on before Shabbat, you're allowed to move it. So the man says, thank you and great. And that night we come to shul. And it's dark. We have a blackout in the yeshuv. And it's dark in shul. And in walks a man with a flashlight on his head. So we're standing in shul. And the whole shul looks at him like, what's wrong with him? Right? Everyone knows there's a blackout. And he's standing there on Shabbat with a headlight. And davening is Shmoneh Esrei. So I couldn't see from where I was sitting. Anytime I tried to look at him, I had the beam of the light. I couldn't see who it was. Okay, everyone was respectful. No one said anything. And the next morning, in our Hilchos Shabbos class, so the conversation came up. And from the conversation, I understood that this man came with that light because of me. He had called me and asked me before Shabbat. I thought he meant around the house. If there's a blackout, can I move the light bulb? I didn't imagine that he meant, if I'm allowed to move it, so I'll just wear a headlight and come to shul. So so I said in shul, even though technically, halachically, you're allowed to move a light bulb, you're allowed to move a light like that, but it's not the way we should really keep Shabbat, of walking around with headlights on our head and flashlights in our hands. If we start doing that, then people will ultimately turn on and off the lights. You won't be at a point that you want to be on Shabbat. What's going to happen is you're going to walk around with a flashlight that's lit. One day you'll turn it off. And not only you, your children. And if everyone does it, that can really destroy the Shabbat. That's the two sides of this coin. Meaning, on the one end, if you deal with the dry halacha, technically you're right. I'm allowed to move around the light bulb. And so if there's a blackout and I want to leave a light on or a flashlight on and I'm going to move that around on Shabbat, so there's room to permit that. But you have to ask yourself how necessary it is, because the way we use a flashlight, when we put it down, we turn it off. It's force of habit. You don't put down your flashlight without turning it off. You don't put it away. It's rare, I understand. Sometimes you do, as you're fixing, as you're using things. But what will happen if you're used to handling that flashlight and Shabbat morning comes and there's light in the house and you see it on and you're handling it all the time? Chazal didn't want you to have a pen in your pocket because you might come to write. Chazal didn't want you to have your cell phone in your pocket because you might come to answer it when it rings. Or force of habit, you'll turn it on and look at the time. So Chazal said, stay away from things on Shabbat that you are kelishim nachtol leisur. So you could argue and say what we were saying until now, that a flashlight isn't a kelishim nachtol leisur. Most of what I do with it is walk around when it's lit. And then the act of turning it on isn't the prime usage of a flashlight, but nonetheless, the theme, the idea that Chazal wanted when they prohibited a klishim nachtol leisur, that you shouldn't come to turning things on and off, you shouldn't come to doing those things, that's also relevant with regards to a flashlight. And that's why, even though on the technical level it's permissible, and if you need to, so then you can move around the light bulb, you can move around a lit light or a flashlight, but to start walking to shul with a headlight, etc., I would sooner say daven at home than to have the whole community. You know, if one guy does it, everyone will do it. Now imagine, everyone's going to walk around with headlights. In Kochav Yaakov, on average, we have 2 to 3 Shabbatot a year where when Shabbat comes in, the electricity is down. I don't know why it happens more on Friday afternoon than other times of the year. I don't know. But that's the fact of the matter is that this happens. So now we have to bear that in mind, and as such, it's incumbent upon us to factor that in and not walk around with flashlights on Shabbat.
Anyway. What about the fan?
In terms of turning in the stick that makes the fan turn or not, so that depends on the question of whether it causes more electricity to work or not. So our scientist here says it does not, and that's what I understood also from others. What you have to pay attention is, today, they have fans where it's not mechanical. It looks mechanical, but it's not. It's actually electric, making the fan turn. And you could see that because some of them, it'll turn when the fan isn't even working. We had a fan like that you had to turn off the mechanism that makes the fan turn and the mechanism that turns the fan on and off. So one of the things you have today are fans where you pull a button, you pull a string, and that's what makes the fan turn and not. And you have to really know for sure that when you pull that button, it's mechanical and not electric. Because today, they make many fans. Again, in our house, we've had a few different brands that when you pull that string, it's not mechanical. So when it's a button, again, make sure that the button is mechanical. And then you could be Somech on Ephraim, who says that you're not using more electricity. What it says in the...
Either way, you're not using more electricity. It's like another electricity constant is where it's being diverted to. The pin is not the same as a button. Pressing a button is always going to be electronic action.
Okay, the pin. I meant the pin.
The pin is never going to be electronic.
No, my question is, are you causing a greater current?
No.
Okay.
Current doesn't have to be constant.
I don't know. Okay. Okay.
So you're using the...